Hey everybody, this is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper, and I'm going to do something, and I want to preference this before we get started, that I totally agree with what Tim was saying about prepping, and I know he does more of the prepper type stuff, but when I listened to Captain Mitch's question, I thought it would be interesting to look at this more from a literal psychological path of why we prep. Why do individuals prep the way that they do? And I want to do that. Now, like I said, I'm not at all saying that what I'm saying is right, what Tim said was wrong or whatever. It's just a different perspective. And perspective makes a lot of difference in how you look at things. And I think that's important. But before we get into this, I want to thank Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, Alan, up in Iowa, sponsoring the Rant of a Free Trapper, where we talk about all kind of different subjects from going every which direction. I want to say thank you to him and for doing that. And when you see him at the shows, let him know. It means a lot to him. If you order something on the phone, definitely give him a shot. He's also a member of the Fur Brigade. So that gives you a 10% discount when you order your supplies, and he has about everything you could ever want. So give him a shot, because he's definitely helping us do our thing. Now, I'm doing this way before I normally do the rant, and Captain Mitch emails me usually after 3 or 4 shows or whatever, and he has a word of encouragement and stuff like that. And he seems like an interesting dude. Now, I can tell you from somebody that spends a lot of time by themselves, Captain Mitch has got a lot of time to think on a tugboat. It's peaceful. It's probably somewhat meditative. If you're not physically doing whatever work it is to be a captain on a tugboat, I'm not even going to pretend to know. But I'm sure it's kind of like a slower version with better scenery of a truck driver, I would assume, with a bunch of, fast and furious work here and there. But he gets a lot of time to think. And he's told me several times through the emails he likes the stuff on tribalism. And I think that's important today, because that's the way the world is turning. It's turning more and more tribalistic. And what he did, if you don't know the question that he asked, go back to episode 109 on Meat Trapper, and he asks these questions about why do we prep, and he gives examples of some people prep with money, some people prep with ammo, with extra food, all this different stuff, these different ways people prep. Why do we do it? And Tim has his perspective, and I'm not disagreeing with Tim at all. But I want to look at this for more from the way that your animalistic brain works. And I'm not saying I'm an expert in this field at all, but I have this tendency, guys, and I cannot help it. When I'm listening to anything, I always try to put that in a lesson somehow with either trapping, business, prepping, or survival. Something like that, I try to use all these different things that I come across. And over the years, I've been into prepping forever. You can ask Chip or whoever's or ask Jeff what it's like to spend the night at my house, because the only spare bedroom with a bed is a prepping room. And you can close the door and hold off an army from there. You got all the water you ever want to drink, and you don't have to come out for food for about 2 years. That's just, to me, it makes a lot of sense. And I've got a lot of other preps and different things like that. And when I started prepping, it's not from what we're going to be talking about today, but over the years, just listening to different things that people have said, talking about different cultures and different habits and psychology of people and different things like that, it's really, to me, it's interesting why people prep. And there's a lot of things that I don't think people really take in perspective, because you can take these and go about it from a difference in American culture and South American culture. South American culture is never going to be American culture, at least close to the equator, because they don't historically, I'm not going to say it's really genetic. I think the technical word is a known or a gnome. Not the thing you put in your yard, but it's like a marker that through evolution over generations, somehow humans can pass feelings or fears or stuff like that, just the way animals do, over time. And you see this repeat itself over and over again. And you can see it between equator people and northern people, because equator people don't really prep. And they've never had to prep. So why would they prep? And if you don't know what I mean by this, I'm talking deep subtropical and tropical. You get around Panama, Costa Rica, and places like that, and you follow that equator all around the world, you will see that around the equator, those people don't prep. And one of the big reasons is they don't have a winter. So evolutionary-wise, they've never had to prep. And it doesn't matter what time of year it is, it's always lush. There's always something that nature, unless they go destroy it, nature always provides with abundance in that type of environment. All kind of fruit, insects, whatever they're eating, they're hunting, whatever. In a subtropical climate, it's like spring and summer year-round. So why would you store jackfruit, for instance, when you can go pretty much pick jackfruit for several months out of the year? And when you don't have that, you got mangoes and coconuts. And a lot of the subtropical, they have a lot of fish that grow faster, plants grow faster, they have more sun, more photosynthesis, all this type stuff. And their culture, through this just generations of not needing to prep, they don't. Now, when you look at most of our evolutionary background is probably going to be from Europe. It gets cold, it's wet, it's nasty a lot of the year. And if you don't prep, you don't live. So you spend a lot of time in the summer preparing to get through the 6 months of winter. It's not this that you're trying to feed yourself every day. You're trying to feed yourself for today and in January, February, and March, because nothing's growing yet at that time. You have to chop firewood. You have to make sure your house is insulated the best you can. You have to figure out ways to bring your pigs and goats in the house the way they used to, so they didn't freeze to death in the winter. And you'd have a way, because you don't want to use all your firewood just to go heat water for the pigs. They're in the house already. They help heat you up, and the manure's putting off heat, and that keeps the water systems kind of working. And then they have something to drink, so you got something that you can eat later. So everything depends on, I believe, a lot of how you look at things and how you prep. And beyond just that, it has a lot to do with why some nations are more monetarily set up than other nations. Nations that have had to grow up prepping looks at the future. Kind of see what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you're going to starve to death. Stefan Malamud has this thing where he always says, if you eat your seeds through the winter to stay alive, you don't have anything to plant in the spring and you're going to die. So you had to have discipline, and you had to think about the future, and you based your life off of the future, not just the present. And in some tropical areas, I believe, Captain Mitch, that they've never had to think about the future. And that's part of the reasons that those countries are never going to be anything like America. Not saying that it's we're necessarily smarter or whatever, but it's just not in their makeup, their human makeup, to think about the future, because that's just not what they had to do. Think about Hawaii. You know, why would you sit there and prep and store and everything like that when you have just an abundance around you all the time? The ocean's right there. All the fruit's right there. You had the pigs. You have the sheep and the goats that run around in the mountains. You have all these different types of things. You have great soil. You don't have a winter that you're not growing something. It's just an amazing place. So why would you prep? Why would you store food for the winter in Hawaii? Because I think we can all see that. You wouldn't. So I think where you're at historically, from the equator to not, is going to make a big difference. you know, I would say that the Scottish side of me, that's a rough part of the world to survive. You had to always be thinking about prepping. Monte Carlo, Morocco, not so much. You know, so you learn, I think, and I think that's passed down, even if you don't realize it in your head, I think that's really passed down from one to the other. So I think how far that you're historically from the equator has a lot to do with what you're prepping for. I think another thing, psychologically, how you prep and why you prep depends on, historically, if you're from a coastal people or an inland people. Coast, I want you to think about what the world was like before modern day times. People that were inland, when other people showed up, it was pretty much to conquer or take. On the coast, people showed up to trade. So it wasn't exactly the same between people that lived inland and coastal. And if you don't think this is true, think the coast of America. Where is it more liberal, more open to strangers showing up, more open to new ideas, and they don't see the fear of what people inland in America see because it's just drastically different. The culture of that alone is very different. So if you're from a coast, you know, somewhere that's on the ocean and you did a lot of trade, you survived because people showed up to trade. If you're inland, when people showed up, it was normally to take what you had, turn you into a slave or kill you, and take your land or turn you into a taxpayer. And I think there's parts of that that no matter how civilized or educated we become, I really believe that that's still part of the human animal that society has not figured out a way to get rid of. And you, like I said, think of California. Very open to everything. Think of North Georgia and West Virginia and Appalachian Tennessee. We believe in live and let live, but we're just not as open to different things because we see it historically as it could be real danger. So we prep a little bit different. We prep more for what we're worried about. Someone coming in, taking our stuff, taking our life, taking our family. So we have a tendency to prep that way. On the coast, it's open arms. So that's one thing to keep in mind. I think another reason that we prep, I think biologically, no matter what the local news is saying, men are different than women. I think for someone to say that they're not is just pure silliness. But genetically, a man does a few things, and that is gather resources and protect the family. What does a wife do? She historically raises the kids, cooks the meal, and runs the home. And through history, that's worked pretty well. So if you're a guy, think about if you, like I don't know, Mitch, how much time you spend looking at prepper sites. But you can see this biological difference. Most guys, when they first get into prepping, it's tactical, it's guns, it's ammo, it's food they really don't want to eat, but they want a crap ton of it. Beans and rice, and they don't know how to cook the rice really, you know, that's done that way. It's gathering a massive amounts of resources they can for those preps once they decide they need to, and protection. Resources and protection. And it has a lot to do with why men are more driven by money than a lot of women are for a status purpose. And a female wants to have a comfortable home, a safe place for the children, and the male and female, they, you know, it's a marriage. I mean, one works with the other, not against the other, those two type things. So, and when you look at the prepper sites, a lot of the manly preppers are men, of course, and it's, you know, you need 65,000 rounds of ammo and 450 guns and bulletproof vest, and you need to have steel bars you can put over your door and drop down steel curtains in your windows in case someone's shooting at you, and all this protection, and then the massive amounts of dried food and stuff, resources. And then when you look at the women preppers, what are they mostly talking about? First aid, how to dehydrate food, toiletries, raising kids during the apocalypse, education, different things like that. So I think depending on your gender, I think that's going to have a little bit to do with the way that we prep too. Historically, where we're from in our genetic makeup has a lot to do with that. I think psychologically, from times gone past, when you listen to someone, like I'd recommend anybody that's really interested in this, you'll have to go through a bunch of modern stuff, but there's a lot of nuggets when it comes to stuff like this from Jorgen Peterson. He's a Canadian professor, stood up against the government where he's not going to just call everybody by whatever gender they want at the moment. But he is a psychiatrist, and he breaks down the mental makeup of people. And this is where this has come from for me. But there's a lot of other places too. But, he's very clear that there's things that a geneticist cannot figure out about what makes certain people do certain things. And a lot of it has to do with our historical background. Now, another one is a warrior, I guess genetics is what you would call it, or a farmer genetic. Warrior type societies don't do a lot of prepping. Farming type societies do a lot of prepping, because they have to. Again, one's thinking about the future all the time. One's just thinking about what they have to go take from somebody else to survive. Now, you see this today. The strongest military in the world, hands down, no questions asked whatsoever. There's not even a close second, is America. Hands down. And then you got the militia behind that. There's nothing that comes close. Nothing in the world today. We are not a warrior society. And we have never been a warrior society. We're a farmer society. And therefore, we have the preps. We're thinking about the future. We're doing different things like that. If you go to a lot of the tribes and through genetics, you can actually tell certain black people from other certain black people by what they call the warrior genetic. They're just more prone to violence quicker. They're more prone to tribalism with violence to take what they need. They're more prone to fight and different things like that. And when you trace them back, it goes back to the serious warrior tribes of Africa. They don't farm. They look at farming and something like that as an insult to being a man. A warrior is all that matters. And a warrior society lives off of fighting, conquering, taking, and getting the resources of others. That's how that works. You can see this today a lot with what we have trouble with in the Middle East, with a lot of Syria and ISIS and all those. Those are warrior type societies. If they're not conquering, they're starving. Do they prep a lot in the Middle East? No. The idea of being a farmer, for the most part, now there's farmers over there, but for the most part, that society, the only thing it really looks up to is a warrior. Someone that's conquering. And when a society conquers, they split what they get. And it's a different type of tribal mentality than we have in America or from Europe. Because we went to war and we fought a lot, and yes, we conquered. But why did we want all of the continent of America? For farming. For the future. So we could have different ports on different coasts and different things like that. It wasn't so much just so we could go from, tribe to tribe to tribe to conquer to take their stuff. We never went after Indians, Native Americans, because we wanted their stuff. We wanted the land for farming. So I think the different reasons us as individuals prep a certain way is depending on what it is that you do. Like, people think of Vikings as just a warrior tribe. That is the farthest thing from the truth historically. They were farmers that had to attack because they lived in one of the crappiest places in the world to try to farm because they had such a short season. And they could go out and they could gather resources that way, but most of all of their going out was to get land to farm. Which, you know, when you look at a lot of the Europeans and stuff like that, that's what it was. So historically, why we prep the way we prep, I think, has a lot to do with, are we from a warrior side of things or a farmer side of things? And I know as a guy, you'd much rather be a warrior than a farmer. But all I do is fall back to an old Chinese proverb, better to be a warrior that farms than a farmer that has to go to war. And I think America has got a little bit better grasp on that than just some of the more farmer type things. You see this in a lot going on right now in South Africa. You've got more of a warrior type mentality with the black people in South Africa going against the farmer type. And the farmer type gains more wealth because they've been there now for 600 years. It's not because of they just went and took Africa over a couple of years ago. That culture preps, plans, saves for the future. And the South African as a whole population of black people, they just want to go take what they see from the other tribe, which is the white people. You can see that very clearly in South Africa, and there's a lot of craziness going on over that. So I think your family history, Mitch, has a lot to do with why you prep the way you do. Now, I will say that no matter what genetically where it is, I think how you prep has a lot to do with why you see the world and how you see the world as far as what's going to happen. Most people that get into prepping, unless it comes from a long family of canning and stuff like that, which my family was not, something happens where you start seeing how fake everything is. The dollar is a joke. Stock market is a joke. The way we do agriculture in this country, if you take away the processed foods, really we don't really produce a whole lot. You see how the factory farms are, and it's just not, a big old bubble in the economy, and all that's going to fall apart. That your voting really doesn't seem to matter one way or the other how the country goes. And you start seeing this, and it's kind of like the film over your eyes gets pulled back. And you're just like, holy crap, civilization is being held together by a fingernail, and it's half tore off. I've got to do something. I've got to get something ready. I've got to be prepared for whatever's going to happen. I've got to do it. And most people come to prepping or survival thinking from a fear-based way. And I think a lot of people start that way. I was that way. Once I really realized just how fragile society was, I didn't have a whole lot of faith in it. So if I wasn't going to just totally agree with society, then I had to put a little bit of my own type of security involved, and it was based out of fear. And most people, that's how they get started. And then you have freedom-based prepping. That's totally different to me than fear-based. Fear-based is because you're thinking the dollar's going to crash, Russia is going to not sell us any more phosphorus, and all our farms are not going to be able to do it because they depleted their soil. You know, the Muslims are going to try to take over. China's going to attack. You know, just like Alex Jones says, that since all the frogs are turning gay from the fluoride in the water, then they're going to grow teeth and start chewing your kneecaps off. Whatever it is, something is going to radically change fast, furious, and you've got to be standing your ground when it happens. And then you have freedom-based. I've switched from the fear, and I've went completely to the other side of the freedom. Freedom-based prepping, to me, is very different than fear-based. Another way to look at this, and we have to put this into context, is no matter what kind you are, you're probably either going to be a predator prepper or a scavenger prepper. And most guys that listen to this show are going to be more of a predator-based prepper. We go out and we'll catch a beaver, snare a hog, trap a deer, put out 110s for squirrels, grow a garden, plant a food forest, have different ways that we can catch fish. Predator-based. And then you have the scavenger, which is the most common time of prepper, where they're just like, you know, the difference between a scavenger human and a prepper and a predator human is one kills its food, another one goes to the grocery store and scavenges off the shelves. That's kind of what I mean by that, by scavenger. Then you just have the people that prep the way they do because they're scavengers and they just buy stuff. You know, the idea of actually going out and skinning something, you know, really grosses them out. And the idea of how to be out in the woods scares them to death. So they're scavengers. They put up way more dried goods and dehydrated, and that's their thing. And that's what they do, and that's what they promote because that's what they're comfortable with. Where like for Tim, for existence, I mean, he's got stored food, but he is a predator prepper. He's set up to go be a predator, not a scavenger. And when, if you're a predator type prepper, you're probably going to end up on the freedom way of prepping, where you're looking at debt, you're looking at do you have a big emergency fund, so if you lose your job or the economy goes bad, you don't lose your house. Like for me, a lot of the permaculture that I do is because of prepping. I enjoy growing stuff. I enjoy my chickens and ducks. But the security that it gives me mentally and physically, but a lot of it mentally, is if I can get 6 more years before something really bad happens, the economy is not going to be that important to me. I mean, it's going to be important, but it's not going to be that important because I'm going to be able to supply all the calories we need off of my farm. Between all the nuts and the fruits and all the different things, and I'm not really worried about people coming stealing it because 99% of Americans wouldn't know what 90% of the stuff is that I grow anyway, if it's poison or not. You know, but it gives me, it's a freedom-based. You know, I look at the preps that I do today, planting, say, like something as simple as an Asian pear, which does really good in my environment, and I've got way more Asian pears than I'll ever be able to eat. That gives me a source of pear cider, fresh or alcohol. It gives me, when I'm 80 years old and the price of a single Asian pear now in the store is $2 to $2.50 a piece, they're probably going to be $10 a piece. I'll have them just falling off of trees, and I can, you know, if I step on one, it ain't going to make any difference. See, that freedom part of what I do, it's hard for people to grasp when they're thinking at everything in a sense of scarcity. A freedom prepper looks at what's out there in abundance and helps it. You want to start up different revenue streams because it helps. It doesn't protect, it helps. makes things go better. At least that's the way that I see it. Every time I grow perennials, whether it be blackberries or propagate this or trees or bushes, or if I put in ponds with crawfish and different things like that, I could grow my own rice. I could go on forever and ever, where everything I do is building an abundance that sets me further and further and further apart of being so dependent on a system that I see being held together with a fingernail. And then I've got the dry foods and the canned foods, and you know, we dehydrate our fruit and all that type stuff, and I save the seeds and I do that. And I think why we prep is going to depend on how we see what we're prepping for: abundance or scarcity. To me, abundance just makes better sense. You know, that's part of the reason that permaculture turns me on so much, is because I can see in my mind as I go down the road, short of a nuclear explosion where I live, if just half the people did what I did, it wouldn't matter if gas went away and grocery stores went away and the money was worth, you know, wouldn't even worth toilet paper, all of that. If more people did what I'm doing, our community would be bulletproof towards that, because it's not something someone can come steal like a bucket of rice. It constantly gives to the future, and that's what I see as, like, for me personally. You know, like you said, why do we prep? I prep and I truly believe, not only, which we're going to get into this in a second, not only am I prepping for me and Cindy, I'm prepping for somebody else that I don't even know, and that makes me feel good. Because all this can be set in place. Someone is going to see the value in that, and they're going to probably do things different than I would do, but they're still going to have that value there. It's like permaculture, we always talk about extending systems. A system being a food forest, for example. When I extend that system, it's there for, you know, what I do today, I'm actually designing for 100 to 200 years out. Now, I'm not going to be here, but it's still there. But with the history that I've got in my genetics, that makes me feel less anxious about the world that I live in. If everything is just store and keep and buy, now it's just scarcity. So I think that could be why people prep the way that they do, how they see the world. You know, it could definitely has a lot to do with that. Now, when I talk about building permaculture systems that are going to be generational, I think that's the same as people that want to stack up so much money and leave it to their children, have a farm they leave their children, have different heirlooms like gold and guns and stuff like that they leave their children. Are they really sacrificed through their life so their kids can be educated and they think that's going to give them a better chance in life? That's a prep going for future generations. I think just genetically, human beings, especially for more than normal northern climates, I think that's instinctual in every single person. It really is. So when you see people that do certain things, a lot of it is because of for future generations. Even if they don't say, I don't have children. You know, if I had a nephew or a niece that was into permaculture, I'd probably just give them the farm when I got too old to deal with it. It would mean as much to me to see that continue to go forward as it would be for me to get the money. Especially, you know, as I get older, I can see how that would be important. But I think we all prep and we think about things for the future. That's why a lot of preppers are really conscientious about debt, not having bills, because if the economy crashes again, they got a good emergency fund sitting around that they really sacrificed to get. It gives them time and wiggle room for everything to straighten back out, whatever the new normal is, without them being just absolutely decimated. And when you listen to a lot of people today, I think one of the reasons we prep is because we know something's not right. And I totally agree with that, but maybe not in the way that people first hear that when I say that. Civilization is not natural. What is natural for humans is extremely tribal, extremely confrontational against other tribes, and extremely mobile. And working the way that we work is not natural. So civilization, by its definition, is not natural to a human being. And all through our lives, I think this becomes stronger in our consciousness and makes us very uneasy in different ways. And it's going to be different on different personalities. I don't see how it couldn't. That is definitely one thing that kicks a lot of people off. They just realize, not so much that they understand that the Federal Reserve and the dollar is just a house of cards. Social Security is a house of cards. Medicaid and all that's a house of cards. Just the falseness of the governments and everything like that. But I'm talking about just every day, 20 years of working at a job, and all of a sudden you start thinking about it and go, this does not make any sense. Something's wrong. I'm just working like a dog all the time, and I never seem to get ahead. And all of this, I think it's because it's unnatural. It's unnatural to let a tax collector take something from you. It's unnatural because laws force us to intermingle peacefully. It's plain unnatural. But the caveat to that is civilization, I believe, is much better than the natural state of man. Because I don't want to have to worry, like when my wife goes to yoga tonight, that just because some other guy from another tribe sees her and decides that she would make a good sex toy for the next 30 minutes, that's what he does. See, civilization stops stuff like that. Civilization stops the idea that you just have bands of tribes going around and taking other bands of tribes stuff. That's where civilization helps with that a lot. Because if you want to know what the natural state of man is, just go to the Middle East and look at a war. That's the natural state of man. With civilization, that's curtailed a great deal. And I just think that helps us in life. But I do think that unnatural feeling that people get makes them nervous, makes them anxious. And then they start storing stuff or figuring out a way to catch more stuff or get a couple of, a couple of boxes of ammo, a couple of, 1,000 round cases is probably more like it. I think that has a lot to do with it. And I think the way that we prep, now I've never heard someone talk about leftist preps the way Tim did about using political power, but after he said that, I think he's spot on. And I think your personality has a lot to do with if or how or why that you prep. An individualist, someone that believes in the American, every man is created equal, all that type stuff, you're not really going to look at Big Brother to take care of you. You realize that in the real world, as an individualist, you don't have a cop in your pocket. You don't have the government doctor in your pocket. FEMA is really 2 days out. When something happens, you have to figure out how to deal with it. An individualist takes pride and be able to get things where they at least have a better chance of not being as miserable during something that happens in their life, whether that be a hurricane like you have to deal with, and we don't, but we do deal with tornadoes, you know, here, but not near as bad as they do in Oklahoma and Iowa and places like that. You know, we don't have to worry about a tsunami here, but we can flood pretty good because of the mountains, and that causes a lot of destruction. Depends on what year it is. But the individualist or the collective person is going to look how they're going to do their preps differently. When you look at collectivist, which are going to be more socialist and communist and stuff, they put all of their life energy into strengthening the idea of collectivism, because if they do that, somebody, somehow, some way, some government agency is going to take care of them. So their energy is going into somebody else taking care of them, their community taking care of them in a crisis. An individualist, especially a male, is probably going to be well-armed and have plenty of resources on hand. That's why when liberals and conservatives get together, that's why the liberals think that the conservatives are extremists, is because to a collectivist, like a progressive leftist, why would any individual ever think that they have to ever take care of themselves, because that's the job of the community? And an individualist looks at that and goes, why would anybody think the collective is going to take care of them when they really need to? Because throughout history, that's never worked. So we prep, they don't. They prep, the way Tim said, is by making sure that there's all kind of safeguards that is always going to be there to take care of them. When you look at very leftist rich people, that's what they have all these trusts and foundations, and it's always to further the collective. And individualists put their money where, you know, if you don't have children and you're gonna die, you may leave some to the NTA and the NRA and different things like that. That's gonna build the individual. And those are preps, just like rice and beans. In reality. And I think one of the last things that why we prep, again, is an individual reason. Are you a leftist? Are you someone that's more, leans more to the right? Now, I'm going to surprise a lot of you out there by what I'm getting ready to say. After listening to Jorgen Peterson talk about the difference between someone that is left and right, it's pretty clear to me that I'm very leftist. The difference is my belief in all men are created equal in the individual makes me what I am. But down deep to my core, I am a leftist. And then you have the people that are more right-centered. Now, I haven't told Tim that I'm going to be saying this, but I think he would agree with me 100%. He is extreme to the right side of the psychology of left and right. But it's not because of social programs or collectivism or something like that. When a psychiatrist looks at a person to try to figure out where the problems are, they're going to come down to this point. Tim, and I hope he don't get mad, but I don't think he will, but Tim, because I know him well enough now, he distrusts a lot of things that are new, and he doesn't have his open mind to things that are coming that are not normal to his world, which is a very right way to look at the world on the right-hand spectrum. A leftist person, like myself, is very open to new ideas and is a lot more creative than someone is that's on the right. That's why you're never going to have a conservative Hollywood, because most right-wing people are never going to be, they're not very creative at all. That's the reason they get their butt kicked in the poll of public opinion, most of the time. They're not very open-minded to new ideas. New ideas don't threaten me at all. I actually enjoy learning, listening, thinking about, studying very different things. I grew up Baptist, I've been going to Church of Christ pretty much my whole adult life, and the idea of Buddhism intrigues me to no end. The idea of meditation, I think, is a pretty cool idea. Some of the collective ideas of the hippies, I think, was spot on. I really do. See, those ideas don't threaten me. But on the right-hand side, because not as creative and not as open to new ideas, you're quicker to put up a wall than, say, I am. Neither one of us is right or wrong. We're just different. And a civilization needs both. I hate to bust anybody's bubble. If it was 100% pure, hardcore, right-wing conservative country, it would suck. And if it's a totally left-wing, it's going to suck more because we're all going to starve to death and be broke all the time. There's a middle. The more open ideas of the left side can slowly over time bring in new ideas that the right side can agree to. It's just a fact of life. And I think of being more of the left psychology or the right psychology, you know, that's why most artists are leftist. Most creative people are more leftist. And more real critical, analytical, mathematical minded people are more on the right. And society definitely needs both. But it's going to change how you prep, I promise you. Like Tim, for instance, his brain works just like what he does every day on computers. It's information in. He analyzes everything. He's very disciplined when it comes to that. He's pretty much everything that I'm not, because I'm the other side. So his prepping is probably going to be a lot more rigid, and it's going to be based off of any type of newness is going to be a danger, just like inland people. It's going to be more of a danger. It's going to be more closed off, and that's going to put him at angst, and it's probably going to lead him towards prepping a certain way. Where, to me, permaculture is very leftist, it's very creative, and that's the way that I've chosen to prep more than the analytical reasons of prepping, if that kind of makes sense. I'm more open to different concepts that are more creative with prepping. And I don't get as tore up about new concepts that are coming down the road because I'm more open to them. See, I guarantee you, if we could figure out a way to separate the way that I look at cryptocurrency and Tim looks at cryptocurrency, and we're the way that we do both of that is probably going to be complete opposites. It's new. I like it. It makes sense. It gives freedom. It's more for the future. It's individualist. It's stuff like that. When Tim talks about cryptocurrency, you know, I'm talking about like the... you know, the big picture, the coolness, screw the government, this, that, and the other. And Tim's talking about how the algorithms work and all this other type stuff, left and right. And what you're going to find out is more right-leaning people prep harder, because every year there's new stuff that's out there all the time, especially with the global world we have, with the internet and everything like that. And it causes them to prep harder the way that they prep. And more someone that's got more of a leftist psychology like I do, I'm going to prep very different, but not for the same reasons as, say, Tim would. A lot of them are very similar, but a lot of them are going to be very different. And depending on whether you're a more closed-minded, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but closed-minded to new ideas, and you're not as creative, you're probably going to be a better prepper than, say, I am. Because I'm more big picture. I'm not as detailed. Some of the things that maybe I should be more concerned about because they're new and could be very destructive, I'm not as, where Tim's going to see it more of as a threat. And he's going to prep for that a whole lot different and stronger than possibly I would. Just some different things to think about why you prep. And to me, when you look at the world, not from a fear-based, but a freedom-based, and you understand the different psychologies of people from where they're historically from, a lot of the world makes more sense than if it's just singular plain the way that you're looking at everything. You know, going back to left and right, just for an example, I can come up with products and ideas, and I'm sure Tim will agree with this, 100 times faster than he can. But you know what I'm not good at doing? What he does is implement. He's much better at that than I am. And the only reason I'm saying this is, even though we're talking about tribes and prepping, if there's not some type of a control issue, or someone doesn't want to be fascist about ideas and stuff like that, so me and Tim could be in the same survival group and get along just fine. Because he needs somebody like me, and we're talking about prepping and survival now, he needs somebody like me that's more creative and more open-minded about certain things. But I need him because he's better at implementation. Because what you'll find out in businesses, it's the same thing. Creative people create businesses. New type of businesses, more creative type businesses, more creative type ideas. But we're not very good at keeping them open. Well, Tim, someone like Tim, would run that like a military machine because that's the way he thinks. So when you're thinking, if you ever get thinking about prepping or survival in more of a group situation, you don't want to have a crazy communist, Marxist, social warrior justice mixed in with somebody like Tim. That's going to be like a nuclear explosion going off. But the way we look at left and right today, I think, is very skewed. I think it's more along the base of collectivist and individualist. Me and Tim are both individualist. I'm just more of the leftist psychology. He's more of the right psychology. That's a strong team. That is a super strong team. Because if I was with nothing but creatives, nothing would really get done very well. We'd have awesome ideas and they'd all get started, but they probably wouldn't get finished. And on Tim's side, they probably wouldn't come up and be all that creative about it, but whatever they did do would be ran just like a Swiss watch. So from that point of view, I think people that prep and survival, you need to have some people and friends to bounce ideas off of that's probably a little bit different than you, and y'all will both be very strong from it. Well, that's my spiel on why we prep. From the individual up to a group, from historical reasons, from genetic reasons, from cultural reasons, from freedom or fear. I just think it's, when you look at it this way, it's just a interesting way to try to figure out what your strengths are and why you do what you do. And once you understand that, then I think you can make better decisions about why and what you're prepping for. My two thoughts anyway. I don't know if this was at all what you were looking for, Captain Mitch, because I know that question was to Tim. But it was, to me, I just thought it would be a different side or a different way to look at why we prep instead of more in the trenches, more of the everyday life, but why we as humans think and act and instinctively go different routes when it doesn't make sense to other people, because guess what? They're different individuals. So that's my two cents worth, and I will talk to y'all next time.